Okay, do settle and center. Get in a comfortable position. Get your hands, you know, out of trouble. And close your eyes and sort of clear your breath. A nice long sigh or some nice even breaths. And with them, try and shift into a kinder, gentler breath rhythm. Try to bring your energy and attention back into yourself. As you breathe in, rein your distracted mind in from the world. Bring it back into your breathing body in the present moment. Try to let it all settle and come to rest on the breath. And also share the gathered energy and awareness with any part of you that's feeling fatigued or numb, so you can uplift and energize. So alternately, a breath at a time, settling the distracted mind, uplifting the dull mind. Gradually, you'll find yourself breathing into a centered place of greater clarity and calm. And if you like to once again sort of be sure that that clarity and calm is in touch with all your body, just do breathe soothing energy and awareness into any restlessness. Breathe energizing breath and awareness into any dullness or numbness. And gradually tune into your subtle breath. Be aware of the subtle energy pulse that fills every tissue and cell when you breathe in fresh oxygen. Try and ride that wave of fresh energy and awareness into every tissue and cell. And wake up in your body. Wake up to your body as a living, breathing bubble of life, like a person-shaped bubble, not the solid, separate entity or thing we often fear it is. Think of your life instead and try and feel it as a living, more fluid and more luminous being. And just try and feel that person-shaped bubble, that body of light, is the real working body for your learning and changing. It's your meditative body. And also, you know, try to sort of make it pliable and connective by shedding any thick skin of numbness or insensitivity, breaking through any shell of defensiveness and feeling connected and in touch with the sea of life that we're all part of. Try and feel that interconnection as if your person-shaped bubble is floating in a sea or in a pool of breath and awareness and giving and taking with the other person-shaped bubbles, the other bubbles of light and life, the beings around you. And within that sort of floating space of light and life, try and balance your sensitivity as well. So just scan any hurt or distress and breathe soothing energy and awareness. Be mindful of any excitement or sort of overstimulation and breathe sober, calming energy and awareness. And also be mindful of the neutral in between and breathe clarifying energy and awareness. So a bit at a time, sort of iron out the wrinkles in the fabric of your sensory life, in the feel of your life, and try to feel more comfortable in your own skin and more balanced in your sensitivity of your whole, you know, scope of sensation, of feeling. With those, you know, sort of spheres balanced and supporting, now open your mindfulness to the pure stream of mind, to the deep flow of mindfulness that's, you know, at the source of all of our mental life. And once again here, you may need to make that effort to pry your mind free from its favorite contents or its, you know, big worries, its fantasies, its memories, its familiar feelings, and to dive into the pure streams and currents of open-mindedness and fresh experience that are always there under that surface. As you get into that flow, try to really stretch out in it and float in it. Try to immerse yourself as much as possible in that deep, stable flow, because that will be the basis for bringing greater sort of clarity to reflecting on your mental life. Okay, that the deep mindfulness that we can tap into through diving into our energy awareness can be that platform of stability or sort of really centered attention and concentration that can really be like a microscope to help us really look closely at what's going on in our minds and lives. So when we get to the deep mindfulness, we get to that space or platform within. Now it's time to open out and bring into our minds the normal contents that, you know, we live with, we struggle with, we enjoy. So be aware of the thought patterns, real and unreal, distorted and clear. Be aware of the memories and images or fantasies, myopic or sort of healing, valid. And be aware of the emotions, the stress reactive, traumatic emotions, and the happier, even blissful emotions. In particular, reflect that, you know, as our lives are mainly about our interactions with others, as they have been from birth, about our interdependence, our loving connection to others. So the most important themes in our thought and in our perceptions and in our emotions are all about those key relationships and those interactions that make up the fabric of our lives. Just as a sort of a film has the main characters that organize, you know, the drama, the action. So our lives are organized around ties to others. And in particular, we explored in equalizing meditation that our lives are all too often tied up in negative interactions with others, whether they be clinging relationships to loved ones, confused or sort of mindless relationships to neutral people, or averse relationships, painful relationships of enmity to people who frighten or threaten us. Well, if we sort of return to that network, particularly the afflictions that poison or tangle our social life into a knot, at the root of them all, we trace the attachment, the clinging attachment to its root, the confusion to its root, and the aversion to its root. At the root of all of our painful and difficult interactions with others is our afflicted, reactive self. So try, in this meditation, we're going to try to get that reactive self clearly in view, and to try to map out a little strategy, a path to working with that reactive self and freeing ourselves of its grip. So in particular, reflect at the bottom of our clinging, what's there is our fear of abandonment. If we were all alone, how could we live? And back to childhood, of course, this is literally true. And in some sense, it's still true in adulthood, although we have so many more choices of people to connect with. Go back to you trace the confused mind and our confused interactions, through our mindless interactions. You get to a fundamental place of delusion or confusion where we're so myopic, we're so focused on our own survival and our own sense of sort of holding on for dear life that we don't really notice what's going on around us. We're sort of in a hangover from eons of a struggle for survival out there in the wild. Sort of have a very narrowed and myopic focus. And at the heart of the aversive mind and all the aversive relationships or knee-jerk defensiveness or reactivity to anything unfamiliar or challenging, there's that insecure or shame-bound self that feels, I can't really handle this. I'm not strong enough. I'm not big enough. Again, as we felt in childhood, so much smaller and less able than the adults around us. How can we ever live? How can we face this challenge? So at the root of our sort of social stress lies our attachment to this early childhood experience of being precariously dependent on others and the love of others and the acceptance of others. And that awareness, which I call the traumatized self, that sense of feeling, so we're hanging on for dear life, we have to hold on tight. In fact, we end up holding on to that way into life as if somehow that's the real truth about who we are. And when we hold on to that sort of reactive self or the wild child or frightened child, when we indulge that child's fear or confusion or myopia, we find it naturally triggers our stressed reaction, our sort of evolutionary self-protection. And we get not just like a wild child, but like a cornered animal. And that's why our difficult social interactions get us feeling so helpless, powerless, and stressed, when usually they're really not matters of life and death. They're just really difficult. So self-analysis, being your own therapist, healing the self at the root of the difficult, the painful aspects of our life, the tangled web of our lives, really comes down to bringing mindful awareness to those early confusions, those very primal confusions and self-protective reactions, stress reactions or trauma reactions that start us down the path of living as sort of wild children, as frightened children and as cornered animals, rather than the highly sort of capable, intelligent beings that we really are. So please do try to bring mindfulness to that traumatized self, and the easiest way to do that is to reflect on the last time you were falsely accused or personally shamed or attacked. Just try and call that image up in mind and reflect on how, you know, deeply you responded, how it cut you and wounded you so deeply and threatened and frightened you. And perhaps see yourself feeling deeply shamed or hurt, like, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, let me eat worms. And how it also maybe made you feel very clingy, so you dug your heels in, or perhaps made you feel very defensive and reactive, so you fought back or struck out. And at the root of all of these, you know, the fearful clinging and defensive anger and rage, there's the shame-based confusion of who we are. So if we bring mindfulness to these, we really slow down the clock of our reactions. We watch the wheel of causes and effects as it unravels. We can come back to this root that we are still thinking of ourselves as tiny and small and helpless and powerless as we were in childhood, feeling that the world is just too big for us, too difficult. And this is where we have to bring not only great mindfulness, but analytic clarity, that this is a distorted view, that we really are awesome creatures, that we're certainly no longer the helpless, powerless children we were. And we need to really update this and correct this fundamental distortion that sort of anchors all of our traumatic reactions and unhappy reactions to others in the world. And we have to be very aware of the tendency to indulge that confusion, to buy into it, to reinforce it, to keep us feeling like in some victim stance, like we're really, you know, so small and powerless. Even a cockroach might frighten us. And we need to really make that special effort to let go of that familiar cave, that pain cave that we go back to, as if it's somehow going to protect us. But that's like really arming ourselves in the narrow-mindedness or defensiveness of a cockroach, just like a Gregor Samsa in Kafka's story. So we need to really learn how to not, you know, make ourselves small and powerless and frightful over and over again, and rather to sort of break through to that fundamental clarity and spaciousness that's our natural mind, that was there before we sort of created this story of ourselves as small. And as we sort of, you know, trace that confusion and dispel it, we go back to that shame-based sense of ourselves as helpless, powerless, and small and disconnected. And we dispel it and realize that we're really great, expansive, and capable and fully connected to all life and everything within and around us. We can sort of not only downshift and shift out of the overdrive of stress, but also really fundamentally disarm that whole network of the whole minefield of difficult interactions and stressful social life. And instead, we can then recover that space of our social connectedness as a space where we can begin to plant seeds of love and care and joy and peace. Plant seeds of tolerance and acceptance and forgiveness and gratitude. And begin to grow the healthy, engaged, and proactive self that can really help us live a happy social life and be effective in our interactions with others. So as we sort of move out from this self-analysis into our daily lives, try to sort of be mindful and ask yourself to pay attention to when difficult interactions throw us back into this rut, into this sort of pain cave or reactive place in our minds. And ask yourself to try to, you know, sort of be mindful to tune into your breath and tap into the balanced body and sensitivity to the clear mind that can help you see your way out of that tangle rather than holding on to it for dear life, because that's not your lifeline. It's just a way, you know, it's a knot that will, you know, close you off from the full clarity and openness that is the real, your real legacy and your real nature, your real self. Okay, so ask yourself to remember that, you know, during the day as you go through your day. And if you can't remember it in the moment, to sort of bring those difficult interactions back to your next meditation and try to untangle what happened. Get to the root of your misperception of yourself. Try to take the opportunity to break through it a little bit more so you can slowly grow out of that nightmare and into sort of a real happy future of social engagement in the world.